please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 399. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my co-host, Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. Forgot your last name again, Mick. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM. And guess what? You'll never guess. We stream this live on KOOP.org. Don't you go away. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
This house got a bed.
It is Wednesday, February 8th. Hope so. Don't have the right one. February 8th, 2017. On the show today, we have Zach Theater and their show, The Great Society. Also, we are joined by the Paradox Players and their show, The Taming. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Boston, London,
and Marrakesh,
and Washington Heights.
I agitate while there.
Okay.
Why just a little Tanya Pinkins this morning, huh? A little Tanya Pinkins going.
A little Tanya Pinkins. That's a laundry quintet from Caroliner Change. And all our interstitial music is in honor of Black History Month. So I chose shows that are African-American themed, civil rights themed, etc. Because we are in a world, I should say before I say anything.
I know what you're going to say.
Before I say
Lisa,
anything.
Lisa, give us that disclaimer.
The opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not those of the station, its employees, or board of directors, but simply of our own. We make fun because we didn't used to have to do that disclaimer. But in our current...
we have hard-hitting news here.
Before we get into hard-hitting news, let's check in with Nick Squared, which wasn't here last week.
No.
No, it was painful.
It was painful. And like, y'all are on the 40-second delay, and I kept texting and commenting in, and I know... You don't check your phone,
I can't
Lisa,
see
but
it.
This
I'm
one
busy
does.
Working.
I was
and there
checking
was
it.
No responses, and I was like, and yes, when you guys were talking about football, I was like, they're talking about football without me.
I know, but it was just painful, but at least we came up with, I'm holding out for a Shiro, which
yeah.
I thought was
I'm
great.
Holding out for a Shiro, it's a commitment. She's gotta be something, she's gotta be wow, and she's gotta be meow, 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 meow.
But then you called me a peanut.
I did call
and
you
I
a
did.
Peanut.
I sang back to you guys, and I responded
you know
with, I am your peanut.
Yeah.
And, yes.
There you go.
There's a lot of love going on.
There is a lot of love.
I love you, too.
Speaking of love, I'm gonna send some love out to Kim Simpson, another wonderful
Kim
international folk bazaar.
International folk bazaar.
He is international.
I truly think he goes to training to learn everybody's names, because I do not understand how he can speak so many languages and names from different cultures correctly.
Speaking of everybody's names, let's talk about who is here in the studio with us, and I'm going to try to do this in order. Hannah Burkhauser. Hi, welcome. You got to go up to the microphone.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Hey, y'all. She's from Texas. And we have, Ava Lamoureux.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
got
good.
It the first time. I won't ever do it again. Mindy Keenan.
Hello again. Mindy Rastkeenan, by the way.
Well, that's not what you've got. You need to talk to this one.
Stacy, you're fired.
Rastkeenan. Stacy Glazer.
Hi.
Mr. Steve Vidnovic.
Vinovich.
Okay, Vinovich. See. All right,
Steve
all right.
You're not the first.
I need somebody to talk into that microphone to see if it.
To this one.
Well, now talk into it.
All right, I'll talk into this one.
Okay, it's not working, so you're not using that one. I'll try to see it. I'll see if I can get it to work later. And then Vincent Hooper. Hi, Vincent.
Hello.
Wonderful. So, there was a football game happening here. Last week. Did anybody watch it other than
the Lady Gaga concert?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
You are football fans?
Somewhat, yeah, but it was an incredible game. Okay. Yeah, great game.
Nicole, the hand raising doesn't work.
What?
So, yeah. Well, for me, Mindy, yes.
Well, no, it's just like, go sports team. Put the thing in the thing for the points.
There you go. Well, of course, you know, those of us that don't watch football.
You don't have to put anything in football. You just have to get over the line.
We always had the commercials and the halftime show.
Yeah.
But in today's day and age, you don't need to tune in to see those. So we can all see the commercials before they ever air. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can wait and see the halftime show the next day, which is what I did. So what did we think of the halftime show? Anybody?
Lots of jumping.
Rocked it.
Did you know that was pre-recorded?
Was it?
Her fall off was pre-recorded.
Yeah. I knew it was pre-recorded because I am a season ticket holder to the Texans and that stadium. So I know how the roof works, and I go, well, that was pre-recorded because that's physically impossible. I watch Toro go up every week. But she did come from the top of the stadium.
She did. So she
was only like 16 feet of jumping that was fake.
Well, but it was the jumping was that's the thing that would have... As a person, that would be the part that would make me a little on edge. The hanging up in the air, no problem.
She still did all of her stunts, even the pre-recording jumping and everything.
I'm not discounting what she did. It was pretty cool.
The drones were amazing. I was like, those are drones? Like, that's insane.
So that is theater. And
I have said football is theater.
Well, I'm talking about the halftime show.
There's an intermission. There's a first half, a second half.
And some really cute costumes.
They do have some great costumes.
We've got music. We got bands. So, you know.
There you go.
Just a different type of theater.
But I enjoyed it. So, once again, we talked about Black History Month. We also have to talk a little bit about Saturday Night Live. We talked about the Sean Spicer sketch with Melissa McCarthy. Is there anybody other than Steve Vidnovich that didn't see it?
I still haven't watched it.
You haven't seen it? Oh,
I'm raising my hand. No, I didn't see it.
For those of you, unless you're a Sean Spicer fan,
ew, God, no.
You might not like it.
I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it from on the news, from like clips of doing stuff.
We're like two episodes
But I haven't watched the whole...
We're two episodes behind.
Okay. It is available as a clip unto itself on the YouTubes. Did you see it, Nick?
I loved it.
I keep watching it.
Hysterical.
I keep watching it.
I can't look at Sean Spicer without. She looks so much like him.
She was creepy, Mick.
She walked
like
out.
It.
I didn't know who she was until I heard the voice and saw the shape of the man.
And no one else in the audience knew really either because there was a delayed response on the round of applause. Like when she started speaking, is when people kicked in and were like, "Oh!" I thought it was beautiful. great transfer. She's just amazing.
I will say her commercial during the Super Bowl was really darn good. She had a
oh
really
yeah yeah
good
she did
commercial.
She did all the stunts
saving the world
yeah. So anyway, very worthwhile scene. But also we talk about on the show how great Randy Rainbow is. This is a
yes.
So he had a new one that came out last week, and it was Alternative Facts. And I want to play. Yeah. I want to play just a little bit of it.
It's the Fiddler one, right?
Well, you're about to hear it. It's actually what rhymes with facts that starts with a C A.
Cat
meow.
Here it is.
Because alternative facts aren't actually facts. They're not facts. They're fantastical facts. They're absolutely not facts. They're just alternative facts, which aren't actually facts. They're not facts. They're not facts. Does Melania Trump really sleep upside down? Does the hair on his head match the hair on his back? Do you look in his eyes when you polish his crown? Was your outfit from Gucci or the Toys R Us rack?
No, that's just flat out false. You can laugh at me all you want, but
I wasn't laughing at you, sweetie. I was coughing. Alternatively. Anyway, I'm sorry, what was it you were talking about?
Alternative facts.
They're not facts. They're fantastical facts. They're absolutely not facts. They're just alternative facts, which aren't actually facts. They're not facts. They're not facts.
Alternative facts.
Alternative facts.
I don't know
facts.
If I want to hate you for making me have cats in my head for the rest of the day or love you because that was hilarious.
I'm not sure if it's him, but somebody similar did one about alternative facts to the Fiddler on the Roof, which is fact checkers, check me some facts.
I think that was also him.
Yeah, that's what I
But it wasn't about alternative facts. That was previous. I think that came out before alternative facts.
I think it came out before the tweet. Nothing but tweets.
Maybe. But anyway, we love our some Randy Rainbow. We figure we're one of his original fans because I was listening.
Randy references us every week. What are you talking
about? All the time. But he does a lot of interviews with Liza Minnelli and everything, and he cuts himself in. And he's gotten quite a following with his political stuff, and he's a very good satirist. Thank you. Anybody else? No. Okay. This is going to be a short show. Keeping with the political theme, It's interesting how these things were set to come onto the street a long time before our current political situation, but here is 1984 is coming to Broadway.
When I saw this announcement this week, I was like, oh, Lisa's going to be like, get out.
Yeah. So some of us are old enough to remember reading that book and thinking 1984 was far in the future.
Far in the future,
I'm looking at us.
And didn't you all think that we were going to be in like Jetson space?
No, that was 2001. We were going to be in space.
I totally thought I was going to be living like the Jetsons. Food is a pill.
So it's actually, this was really the second thing I was going to talk about because it's going into the Hudson Theater. It will be the second show, I think, in the Hudson Theater. But it is, they don't have a cast yet for it. And it's going to open in June. When it played at the, in the West End, Ben Brantley called it willfully assaultive.
Wow. What?
Willfully assaultive.
Is that a compliment?
I believe it is.
I'm going to believe it is. I mean, have you read 1984?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's pretty close to the context of the book, which I would think it would be. I could see that. Well, and I would take it as a compliment.
Yeah,
I would too.
I'm saying it's good. But you never know with Mr. Brantley.
No, you don't.
You don't. Okay.
But you know what? We can call him.
All right. Well, okay. That's it for that. But let's talk about the Hudson Theater, which is opening. Not quite open, but it will open on the 11th, which is this Saturday, with a little show called Sunday in the Park with George.
Did you see that clip that was just released of
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, it was quite beautiful.
What did he say? Tell us about it. I have not seen it.
It's finishing the hat, and he starts way up in the top of the fly system, and he walks really slowly down the stairs. So from the top of the theater, right, up in the grid,
uh-huh.
And he walks so slowly down while he's singing the entirety of Finishing the Hat, and he finds himself on the stage where the orchestra is, and he's in street clothes, everyone's in street clothes, it's a bare set, and it's a celebration of, obviously, it's a great PR move to release this video, right? But also, it's a celebration of the opening of the theater, because the song is all about creation and the space. It's beautiful, and I was blown away. I've never heard him sing. I was blown away by his voice.
He has little pipes on him that you just don't
expect.
And it's not a score that's easy. But it was really, it was a great from a PR angle as well as it was moving to see this new theater having its first life.
Is that on the YouTubes?
It's on the YouTubes.
Okay, I'll try to get that. Maybe we will link it on the
I think it was the New York
Where's the theater?
Hudson, it's on 43rd.
It's the Hudson. I've never been in there. It was going to open with Lamford Wilson's Burn This with Jake Gyllenhaal, and now it's going to be Sunday in the Park.
Right.
So,
and we're going to talk a little bit about history of the Hudson because it's a very interesting history. But before, while we're talking about Sunday in the Park with George, did you see the announcement that it will not? It has taken itself out of contention for the Tonys.
Why?
Because of the nature of what it is, they thought it wasn't a likelihood that it would be eligible anyway. And I heard a podcast a couple days ago talking about, well, first of all, Gyllenhaal probably had to sign off on that decision. Mm-hmm. And of course, they can always change their mind. But it's a limited run. It's a 10-week run. Nah. It's a small theater, 1,000-seat house. Tony voters get, I think, 1,500 tickets.
So they don't have enough time to get them in.
Also, you're losing basically a night's show.
Revenue.
A little more than a night's show of revenue on a 10-week run. So it could have been a financial decision.
Truthfully, I think I like things like that. I like decisions like that being made because it says it's not about the award. It's about wanting to do this piece at this time with those people. So I think that I give the thumbs up to those decisions.
Well, we had Vincent and I had that same issue with Parade. We did not qualify for the B. Ideen Payne Awards, and we could have added shows to qualify, mm-hmm. and we would have run away because this man was awesome.
Yes, you were, thanks. Mr.
So, but we made that decision to like just do the show. It was about the show. It wasn't about the award.
Yeah.
So, that's
and
good.
What
so
a
agree.
Great show it was.
It was. So let's talk about the Hudson. The Hudson, this is interesting. I didn't know. It was actually built by Henry B. Harris, who ran it until 1912. And what happened in 1912? The Titanic sunk, and he was on it.
Oh.
Found that interesting. So wow. His wife, who survived the Titanic, ran it, and she lost it to foreclosure in the Depression. So then it was a theater for CBS TV studio. It was a porno house. It was a
everything was a porno house at one point in Times Square.
Elvis Presley played there.
At the porno house.
Same time.
That's true. His name was. I'm trying. What's the porno name? It's your dog, Fido,
your street name.
Fido Airport. so it's very interesting history, and it's great that we're going to have it. It's going to be the 41st Broadway Theater. Oh, no, am I wrong? Yep, 41st. The
is
oldest
it between,
and the newest.
7th and 8th?
Where is it? It is on 43rd Street. Yeah. Hold on. I believe it says, I'm guessing 7th and 8th, but
I
it might
it
be
is.
On. Oh, it's on 44th Street, just east of Broadway.
So
it's going to be between Broadway and 6th.
Yep.
Interesting. I didn't think it was that far east.
It is. Now you know.
I
just walked past it because it was. It was part of the Millennium Hotel. It was an event space for the Millennium.
Okay.
For the past several years, so that that is interesting about the Hudson. So there is an article in the New York Times that comes out, and I don't know how long they've been doing it, but I know they've been doing it for the past few months. At the beginning of the month, and they say five shows you should see in New York if you're here this month. And I loved the ones this month, so I'm going to tell you about those. One is one that's going to open tonight, I think, Sunset Boulevard, with one Glenn Close.
Yeah, I thought she was back in it.
Yep, she's back in it. She came back, and it's opening, I think it's tonight. Is it tonight? Is it tonight? You New Yorkers?
Tonight.
I think it's tonight. So we will talk about that next week. The other is Sunday in the Park with George, which we already talked about. But here's the other ones that I found interesting. Escape Alone, which is a Carol Churchill play. Carol Churchill did The Striker and Far Away. She also did Cloud Nine. She's an incredible playwright.
Yeah.
What?
Top Girls.
Yeah, Top Girls. You need to talk into the microphone or else I'm going to have to fire you. You're fired. I can't do them. Can anybody do a Trump?
You're fired.
Why do you want to?
Oh, that's good. That's good. You got to do the hands.
They have to be smaller, though.
I'm sorry, but the you're fired is good. I'm not going to get rid of saying that one. You're fired. This is good stuff.
Anyway, it opens. Apparently. This show, Escape Alone, opens at BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music, on the 15th. And it runs 55 minutes, which is...
That's like... Wow.
Zip in, zip out. Yeah. You can go to another show later.
that is crazy.
At the Public, David Byrne is back. You might know him because he wrote Here's Lies Love.
Yes,
or you might know him from the Talking Heads.
I was about to say, I know him from the music world before the Here Lies Love, but I do know the Here
he
Lies
is,
Love.
He is teaming up again with the director Alex Timbers, who is everywhere these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joan of Arc Into the Fire.
I saw that and I got a little excited. I was like, oh, what is Gabriel going to do with Joan of Arc?
Yeah, so that
something
should be.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Because exactly, Stacey, exactly. Yeah.
And then one other called Everybody. It is it tackles identity, ethical, societal, and existential.
It's not a musical.
It is not a musical. And that's the other one. Zing. Right. That's it. What else did I want to talk? Oh, the other one, Sunset Boulevard. Sunset Boulevard, when it opens, all right, quiz. Answer quickly. How many, after this opens tonight, how many Andrew Lloyd Webber shows will be on Broadway right now?
Four.
Says four. Anybody else?
Four.
Name them.
Cats,
yep.
School of Rock,
yep.
Phantom
yep.
and then this one, Sunset Boulevard.
What's it called? Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, okay, that's four.
Wow.
Imagine.
I said that when they announced he's doing it, I went, holy moly. And I had the whole, like,
she did. She said, holy moly.
I said, holy moly, he's going to have four shows on again. That crazy cat.
Can never kill the Weber.
Listen, I want to make fun of him, but he gave me Jesus Christ Superstar, so that man is a god in my book. And 18, when you write that, that's even more of a god.
Wait, he was 18 when he wrote it?
Yep.
Wow.
He's 17 when he wrote Joseph. 18.
Shut up.
Yep.
So, are we done? Can I move on?
You go right ahead.
Not that I don't like talking about Andrew Lloyd Webber.
That's okay.
I don't.
So we were talking about this a little bit before. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking to the folks from Zach Theater and The Great Society, written by one Robert Schenken. And he's got another show that's just opening up right now.
Very timely also.
Very timely. Which he wrote in how long?
1 week.
Took him a week.
Isn't that crazy?
One week.
When I saw that, I was like,
kidding
really?
Me?
So to give it to... So I think it took him several years to write All the Way, which is the prequel to The Great Society. And he wrote this in a week, and it's about the wall. It's set in 2019, and I love it. It's in the form of either speculative fiction or future history. We don't know yet.
God willing, speculative fiction.
Yeah. So one of the things that the producing artistic director of the Forum Theater said, history will judge us by how we responded to this crisis, and we can't waste any time. We can't choose silence. We've been talking about...
artivism.
She likes to call it artivism.
I like to
but
say
how,
artivism.
That's a good word.
Get
she loves
out
to
there.
Say artivism.
Artivism. We have the greatest works of art created in crazy times, so I am looking forward to what's coming out.
Right. So this is... five theaters around the country have already elected to do it, and they are the Fountain Theater in Los Angeles, Curious Theater in Denver, the Forum Theater in Silver Spring, Maryland, the Borderlands Theater in Tucson, and the Adobe Rose Theater in Santa Fe. They're also talking about doing a tour about it. Yeah, I can't speak.
Well, they could do a tour about it.
They
you
could
don't
do
know.
A tour about
they
it.
It could be both.
It could be. But I just think that's
or
interesting.
Or it could be a tour about...
A boot, if it was going to happen in Canada. So there'll be a link to this article in the New York Times. It's pretty cool. So y'all, you were talking about it ahead of time, Steve and Vincent, both of you. What do y'all think?
I really, really want to read it. From what I've heard so far, it's a two-person show, one man, one female. I think it's set in a prison. Or something like that. It has something to do with prison. but yeah, I just want to, like, you know, get into what this thing is. Because I think with Robert's arc, at least in these past couple shows, it's gotten darker and darker. So I'm wondering where this one's going to land. Great Society, I think, is... We'll get to that.
Never mind.
I'm interested because knowing he wrote Great Society so many years ago and how poignant it is now... Writing that and how poignant will it be? Like when you write something so much closer in time, that gets me curious about this piece of work. Cool. And that Robert, you know, he writes good stuff.
The last thing I want to discuss before we go to break is our friends at Hamilton have, if
squeak.
We talk, what?
Just squee.
Squeak. Who's seen it here?
I'm saving up
Steve,
money for a season pass to
been
Houston.
Twice.
For free.
Twice.
Yeah.
Shame.
Oh, I hate you.
I saw it for free.
They both did.
That's even better.
That's right.
That's
I
rare.
Did too.
I was in a car with these two telling me all about how they saw Hamilton for free, and I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eat your heart out.
Without those of you who have the script, guess what the top ticket price is these days? It just went up.
I'm assuming over $1,000.
No, this is the type of face value.
Face value, face not value. The scalper resellers.
What is it, 160?
That's not the...
Or more.
$895.
Oh, come on. Oh, those are the specialized seats. Right?
Those are but they're still their face value seats, which I think that
that's
I think
not
this,
even
the special tickets are, I think they're a Shonda for the neighbors, as my mother would say. Shame on them for doing that. It's milking.
I'm going to show you my age. I remember when they opened the rink, there was an outcry. Outcry.
You're going to get
that
the
they were charging ticket? Saturday night $25 a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the act was the same thing. $20 a ticket.
The act did it for
maybe
her.
Maybe it's the act.
It was the act. And it was 20. I thought it was 20.
Right.
But it was
25.
Everybody was screaming about how much that was.
She talks about that all the time. That's so funny. Dare her. You felt? Do you feel validated right now?
I do feel validated. Thank you.
I was like, does Steve give you validation?
Okay, so we're going to take another little break. We'll listen to a little bit from Shuffle Along. This is the original Shuffle Along. There's not a cast album of the
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm going to call Audra.
I know.
When we're on this boat.
She was having a baby, but if she can get out there and tap and dance and sing at 8 months pregnant, then why not make an album too?
So yeah. We'll listen to a little of the original. My heart is aching. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
That's only one voice right now. Because we have Nicole Shiro out doing some work.
I was trying to throw my voice to sound like two people at once.
Yeah, I heard you. Were you making fun of me?
No, I was trying to. I was just trying to throw my voice and make it sound like two of us.
This is working.
Out of the room.
Thank you, Nicole
Shiro.
It is working.
Oh,
I
went into a different mic, too. I was going to tell you, you may have to reprogram, but guess not.
You went into a different mic?
I did. I went into 4 from 5.
That's where it was. Oh, it was in 5? That's my fault. It was supposed to be in 4.
Oh, well, I put it in there, and voila!
Okay, so that one's working now. Excellent. So let's introduce Vincent Hooper.
What's
and
up?
The Sky.
What's up?
And Steve Vidnovic.
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 Come on.
Vidnovic.
Sorry. I know.
There.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You just keep. You're going to have to keep doing that. And then Lauren Lovell, who said she wasn't going to say anything, but she's over there.
Woo!
Say something loud.
Woo!
Okay, that's Lauren Lovell. So you guys are currently in the current production over at the Zach Theater on the top first stage. What's the name of that show?
The Great Society.
Oh, we get stereo. Wow, that sounds like some sort of program from a president.
It is the second of Robert Schenken's plays, since we talked about him earlier. It's a sequel to All the Way. Covers Johnson through the remainder of his career until he resigns. And really pertinent today, staggeringly
yeah.
so. And quite wonderful. Our reviews have been must-see theater, highest recommendation, one of the best shows the Topfer has ever done.
Awesome.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. So if All the Way was basically covering, just if you had to lump it into something, it's really talking about the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Civil Rights Act, yes.
And him getting elected. And this one is covers the Voting
Rights
Act.
Right where the last one left off, where he's elected. Right. And then this takes it through the rest of his presidency.
And Steve, you play Lady Bird?
I play Lady Bird, just showing the incredible range that I have. I play Mr. J himself.
Mr. J. And you
and
are...
I did All the Way 2 years
you
ago.
You did All the Way here as well as other places.
Well, yeah.
And you did All the Way on Broadway, too.
I understudied Mr. Bryan Cranston.
I've heard of him.
And was in the show, too, carrying furniture. And then I did it at Cleveland and here, and they keep... want me to do it, but it's a lot of work. So
it's a lot of work.
Yeah,
one could say you carry the show.
Well, no, we have 16 people.
As the review say, tour de force.
Tour de force.
It's not a tour de force. There are 16 other people playing 16 different. One person described it on Broadway: 20 people doing 20 different roles in a one-man show.
Hey, that's great.
I actually like that.
And Vincent, who are you playing? You're also playing someone very
famous. I play Stokely Carmichael and Jose Williams and Marquette Frye and various.
Stokely Carmichael is the founder of SNCC or was part of SNCC?
He was a part of SNCC.
He was one of the leaders of SNCC.
Yes, he was the founder, if you will, of the Black Power movement.
Right.
Yes.
And that was a student
Nonviolent Coordinating Committee.
Thank you. But they wanted to be violent. Didn't they? Sort of. They were a little frustrated with the
I always
MLKs.
Say that the only difference between Malcolm X and Stokely, that them being like a group, and MLK is that MLK said violence was not an option, and they said that it is.
They weren't advocating
for violence,
right.
But they needed it
off the table.
Yes. Yeah.
And you needed both camps for it to
Absolutely.
For everything to and then yep. all the yep. stuff that was happening
all,
politically.
Yeah. I think the reason why MLK was so successful is because they had this other group
Absolutely.
That was like, we're not so nice.
So I'm going to take a little tangent here. We are going to take a little tiny break. During the break, I asked Lauren Lovell to give me a number between 2 and 52. What did you say? She said, well, I'll say it for her. She said five. So let's see what she chose.
Let me put my gun down. This is Dee Dee Snavely.
This is Patrick Page.
This is Jason Williams, and you're listening.
You're listening to Offstage and On the Air.
I'm letting you know you're listening to Offstage and On the Air.
On KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
91.7 FM, and it beats that out of Andy Williams.
That's completely, that's a ridiculous accent. That's not how I really
sound. You
could
do it again.
That's a good one. That's the mashup. We were talking about that the
other
day.
Mashup of Patrick. Yeah. And I was with Dee Dee Snavely this morning.
That's
so funny. There you did you know?
How did you know? Very good, Lauren. Very good job. Okay. So I think we've talked about this before, but playing a historical figure is multidimensional in terms of how you approach the role. How did you guys approach the role?
I basically busted my butt. I've read about 8 books. Ryan gave me a 6 hours worth of audio tapes of the phone conversations. I've been to the museum multi times. I've had 2 private tours of the ranch. They let me drive his Lincoln convertible.
You did not.
I did too.
Did you get to fly that plane?
I got in the plane. You can get in the plane.
I know. I got in that plane.
That was the greatest addition to the ranch when they brought the plane out there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now you can walk in and look around a little bit. Not too much. Very small. My God, how he
got in that? Plane.
I don't know. But I really understood who he was when I saw the place, the ranch, because it was basically my aunt's and uncle's furniture. So they were. I'm from Peoria, Illinois, and I really. Oh my God, we're very middle class. Mm. Nothing fancy. In fact, she had my desk. Lady Bird did, just a different color. Had the exact same desk. Nothing fancy. And I went, oh, okay. I know who this guy is. I've really gotten to like this guy. Sad. But he was doing so much good and never getting any credit. Still, never.
He will eventually, we think.
It's more and more so now, yeah.
He unfortunately had the legacy of Vietnam to deal with.
I think the more people learn about him, the more you realize you see the human and the person and that there's way more beyond Vietnam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Lauren had a line, which I used as my template for the... She said, when we were doing all this research first time around, she said, well, he was way too human to be president. And I thought, oh, that's good. And it's true. That's true. He felt it so much and carried the guilt of Vietnam. Was a heck of a guy. And never gotten his due, but hopefully it's coming around a little bit now.
Yeah,
I'm curious because I don't know anything about the piece other than what I've read press wise. Where is it in its process? This is
the third production.
Third production,
Texas premiere.
They did. They only did really one other production. They did it at Oregon Shakes, but then they took that production to Seattle Rep.
So when you guys were rehearsing this, were there still changes being made to the script?
No. It was written 3 years ago.
You won't
believe when you see it. It's like, oh, they just put that in this week to be relevant. He wrote it 3 years ago.
And how active, if at all active, was the playwright in the creative process here at Zach?
None.
So he wasn't done
the here. Play's done now.
Okay, great.
It was optioned for Broadway.
He's supportive.
They were looking for a star. They didn't find one, so they dropped the option, and so we got to do it.
Awesome. So, who direct? This is Dave.
Dave.
Awesome.
And it's a very different visual representation of the show than in the past iterations, which I think is really great. He has a really great vision for it, and I think when you come see it, like you'll recognize what's going on visually. In the show.
Yeah. Awesome.
But the main scenic elements are basically the same that we use for All the Way.
For All the Way. Mm-hmm. Basic set. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same basic.
So you'll feel, so those of you that have seen All the Way, when you come to the Zach at the Top first stage, you'll feel, you'll feel right
feel
at, home.
At home. This
Very
is much more theatrical, and it's written that way too. Mm-hmm. Much more theatrical. There's a nightmare sequence. There's a lot of effects. Dave's having fun. He's right.
He always does.
It affected me in a few different ways that I still am having conversations about it for different reasons. And then something will happen in the current time and I'm like, oh my God, and it makes me think of different. I really enjoyed this piece. I really enjoyed y'all's performance a lot, but I really did enjoy this piece.
How are the audiences responding, and what are some of the dialogues that you're getting in with the community around this piece?
They're very impressed. Mm-hmm. They're talking about it afterwards. It's a show you talk about when you leave.
I think it's very visceral for a lot of people. I mean, because I think of the cast, I have the most direct connection with the audience, and they're very just in it and very present, but that kind of creates a tension because I come through the audience a few times and I can like touch people and they're very like, oh, like they get wrapped up in the story and what's going on that they, I think, are affected by it very, very deeply.
So the arc of the piece follows basically the political pieces of it, which is basically old white power. Yeah. And then you also see the struggle of the civil rights leaders.
A lot of the struggle.
MLK, Stokely Carmichael, what's his name? I forgot.
Ralph Abernathy.
Bob.
Bob Moses.
Yeah. Who I thought... So I actually had to Google Bob Moses because I was thinking of Robert Moses and Robert Moses State Park.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
And I'm thinking, and it's a totally different person.
Yeah. Right. Definitely he was an nude beach.
He was an architect, I think. Yeah. But how is it? One of the things about the audience that tends to go to Zach is those people look like me. Mm-hmm. And so, Vincent, you're playing part of the group of people that were really vocal in the struggle of civil rights,
yeah.
Which was hard. You were working with the power, which was mm-hmm. the white male power at the time, and trying to move that ball forward. How has the experience been for you in that with this sort of with a layer of the audience that you're talking to?
I think it's very. I mean, it's emotionally rough for me just because of the relevance that it holds. But I went in knowing that the audience would be what it is. And I think my goal every night is to just allow them to see the humanity of these people and not just write it off as, oh, that's an angry black man. But it's like, let's ask ourselves, why is he angry? You know, what reasons does he have that give merit to that emotion? You know, because there's, and I try and approach it from a place of, well, he feels this way because he loves the community so deeply and because he's hurt by what he's seeing them go through and what he's having to go through experience. So then, like, that's where that comes in. There's sadness and there's guilt and there's frustration all wrapped up in that. But
and a huge swatch of society right now.
Yes.
Immigrants, LGBT, people of color can feel that same frustration right at this very moment.
Yeah, a few people have told me thank you after the show. I guess they... to some degree are connecting with Stokely in a way that says he gets to say the things that I want to say, but society tells me to box it up.
Steve, so you've spent a lot of time with this man, and he's specifically a man, and you know, you have to play the man and not the president. How has your relationship with him over the years changed?
It has changed. When I first started research, I was reading the Caro books, and the first Caro book is very... kind of anti-LBJ, very angry with him, painting him almost out as a villain. Then, as you read the other Caro books, he definitely warms to the to the man. And so I first started playing him as a very angry fellow, and then as I read on and did more and more research, that definitely shifted away. He gets angry, but that wasn't his base. Mm-hmm. And being down here, I've been working very hard to try to... I'm still working at it. I still am not... as pleased as I was the first time for getting him, nailing him, so where you're watching it and you forget it's me and you're going, oh my God, there's LBJ. Mm-hmm. And that happened the first time I was here, and I'm almost there again, but I'm still fiddling.
Is it different to play him here, though, than to play him elsewhere? Does it feel different here in
Texas?
Oh,
no, I just knew people here knew him.
Yeah.
And they're going to be coming in going, oh, yeah.
And his daughters might come.
And his daughters. Well, they weren't going to come to the first one, but they might come to this one. Yeah. They'd seen the first one on Broadway and didn't care for the way Lady Bird and he were pictured. Huh. But that's different in this one. There's very loving in this one.
Yeah. Well, we're just about out of time, but I did want to just carry one last little note out about this with... one of the things that when I saw that Vincent was in it, I'd worked with him in a musical and he's got this lovely voice. And I said, God, it's too bad we're not going to be able to hear his lovely voice. But we do, don't we?
Yes. Yes, I thought I would get away, but I could not.
Yeah, so there is something in this show for everybody because the music is actually, you could go just for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of music. You'll get a lot more, but yeah, a lot of music.
So we're
get a lot more, right?
We are plumb out of time. You guys are playing now. When do you close?
March 5th.
And where can folks go to get more information?
I'll
tell you.
ZachTheater.org.
Zach
Theater. Yeah, Zach Theater. There you go.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. And if you can, we'd love for you to come and hang out with us backstage amongst the dumpsters after the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. That was Steve Vidnovich and Vincent Hooper. I said that.
Vinovich.
That's what I said.
Okay.
You keep putting a D in there.
Oh, because it's written with a D.
Oh, somebody Vinovich. Miswrote it. Who was that? From the Zach Theater. No, wonder.
It actually,
V-I-N-O.
It could have been me. So there you go. So we're both been right. That was Steve Vinovich.
Yay.
And Vincent Hooper of Zach Theater's The Great Society, playing at the Top for Theater through March 5th. For more information, you may visit zachtheater.org, and we will be right back.
I will not
move. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. We were talking to Steve Vinovich and Vincent Hooper earlier. Now we're going to take a really quick trip down memory lane, and we're just going to jump right into Today in Theater History, unless there's anything locally that you guys want to just throw out there.
I do not have anything locally other than the Texas Medal of Arts.
That's right. When is it?
Yeah. February 22nd.
February 22nd. For more information, you may visit
TexasCulturalTrust.org.
There you go. Okay. Back in 1907, Ray Middleton, who was born in Chicago, Illinois, and he starred in Annie, Get Your Gun with somebody named Ethel Merman.
Never heard of her.
He was born. That's his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Okay. In 1940, there was a review called Two for the Show at the Booth, one of my favorite theaters. It's such a darling,
such a great
it's a darling little theater.
I agree.
It starred Eve Arden and Alfred Drake and Betty Hutton.
Oh, wow.
And here's one that I, it's 1947. It's the story of Mary Surratt is the name of the show. And so I was thinking, well, how great. We're just talking about Sunday in the Park with George. That must be his
George
wife.
Surratt?
And it's not.
It's Mary
They're
not
even related.
Mary Surratt is the woman that owned the that owned the boarding house that John Wilkes Booth.
That's so funny. Good, you're trying to reach for it though, Lisa.
I know.
Did the boarding house become a porno hub?
It probably did. Abe Lincoln performed there with Elvis. It starred Dorothy Gish.
Alternative fact.
It's a real fact. Alternatively. In 1956, Patty Chayefsky's The Middle of the Night played at the Anta with Edward G. Robinson, who I had a friend that had a pug dog, and she would put a cigar in
the
dog, and it looked like a combination of Eartha Kitt and Edward G. Robinson.
Amazing.
just thought that was funny.
I feel about that.
I know. In 2004, I don't remember this, but you guys probably do this, a show called Taboo.
Michael. Hello. Yeah. Not George Michael. Sorry. Boy George.
Boy
hello.
George wrote the music. Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie
It was about
it
the
failed
famed,
utterly.
Failed utterly.
Yeah. But you know what? I have to say it was
Really good.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Well, it had your boy Raul Esparza in it.
Yes,
amongst
I know.
Other
well,
people.
It had Jennifer Cody, Hunter Foster's wife, and a whole bunch of other
you
people.
You and Morton,
in it
Curtis
too.
Holbrook, but, a Texan here.
But yes, my Raul was on the Today Show this
okay.
morning.
And so extra points for somebody who can give me Boy George's real name.
Oh, I know this.
I do. Hold on one second.
Ago. He's on The Real Housewives right now.
Okay, do it quickly. We're running out of time.
Nope.
I can't think of
okay.
it.
Okay. George O'Dowd.
Thank you. I was like, he's an Irish O'Dowd.
Okay. Birthdays today. Jack Lemmon.
Oh, Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon, 1925. James Dean.
Oh.
Robert Klein.
That's a good birthday.
And Sherry Renee Scott.
That's a good birthday. Queen.
People with three names. Did everybody watch America the Beautiful at the beginning of the football game?
Yes.
With the Schuyler sisters?
Yes.
That's awesome. Also locally, it's the birthday of Meg Steiner and Tim O'Brien tomorrow. Mr. Frank Binge.
Frank
Benji, who just gave a very...
You didn't say Tim O'Brien.
I did not say that. No, you did.
I know.
You said, those
are your facts.
Those are your words.
Those are your words.
My facts.
Frank Binge just put out a decent review of, actually, it was a good review of Title of Show, which was on this show last week.
Yes. He wrote a very lovely one for Great Society, too.
There
He's
you go.
Writing away these days.
And it's also Brian Miller's birthday. So with that, birthdays. We're going to take a little break because we have three PSAs to play today. So we're going to have to make sure we have time for that. And this is from The Color Purple, the new version, the new production.
That's exciting.
Here we go.
The grace you bring.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
That gives me joy.
It gives me joy, Stacey.
Me too.
I don't feel complete without it each week.
Oh my God.
So let's jump ahead and talk to the folks from Paradox Players. And we have from the show the director, Stacey Glazer.
Hello.
We have Hannah Burkhauser.
Hey.
We have Ava Lamoureux.
Very good.
And we have Mindy Raskeenan.
There we go.
There we go. Okay, so Stacey, what's the show about?
I'd like to say they're lovely ladies.
Thank you.
Aww, they're lovely ladies.
Now I have Les Mis in my head. So the show is it's called The Taming, and it's extremely loosely based on The Taming of the Shrew. Very, very, very loosely.
Extremely loosely.
It's political
it's
satire.
Raucous, what
it's,
I hear.
It is raucous. It is very raucous. And it's political satire, also appropriate for this climate.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually written in 2015, but still really relevant now.
A year later, imagine.
Well, and it's hard. Shocking. So this is an all-female cast.
Yes.
And so The Taming of the Shrew has takes some hits about being flattering towards the feminists in the world.
Oh, and this turns all of that on its head.
Oh, cool.
All of it.
So who does everybody play? Is this the entire cast that I'm looking at
this
right
now? This is the
now?
Whole cast.
Okay, tell us. So in order, Hannah, who do you play?
I play Catherine Chelsea Hartford.
So you play Kate.
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah. Wait, do we tell our main character and the other characters we play, or is that a spoiler?
Oh, spoiler.
Don't spoil anything. Now, you already
don't
just did.
Come on.
Thank you for being on the show. That's it for today.
No spoilers.
Ava?
You have to come see it.
I play Bianca.
Bianca?
The liberal blogger.
Is it called? Is your name Bianca?
Bianca.
Oh, lovely, lovely. you know, I thought it was a valid question. Mindy?
Yeah.
I am Patricia. I am the aide of Republican Senator Peter Baxter of Georgia.
You know, I voted for him.
I mean, who didn't really?
He's so wholesome.
So we were talking before the show, this is a farce.
Yes.
Very much
so. So we have a lot of physical humor in it as well?
Oh, very much. Yes. Very much so.
I don't have pants at certain points.
Oh, well, who does?
We're doing it right now. You just can't
say,
see
welcome
it.
Welcome to Austin.
None of us are worried.
She's like, welcome to Austin.
So what would be the parallels that we're talking about? What are we talking about today in terms of, is it just a thesis on sexism?
I mean, and you guys can all jump in whenever you want to as well.
I would say sexism, because like she said, it's really, really, really loosely based. It's more about breaking down partisanship and going, we need to stop thinking about things in regards to parties and really look at what the country needs and coming together as a country and being a powerhouse in and of itself and stop going, I don't agree with this because you said it.
Yeah, and there is very much a feminist aspect to it as well. It kind of takes the idea of, you know, you've got this, like, Catherine is a beauty queen, and so people immediately look at beauty queens and like, well, they're stupid.
Yep.
And, or, you know, not even necessarily beauty queens, but beautiful people. You look at them and you immediately make a judgment.
Happens to me all the time.
I mean, obviously. And so she kind of turns that on its head as well and points out the ridiculousness of that idea.
Well, y'all have a small scene for us, yes?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So why don't you set it up for us?
Okay. So this is kind of towards the beginning of the play, and it involves Patricia and Bianca, who have just realized that they are locked together, again, liberal blogger and ultra-conservative Republican aide, locked together in a hotel room. There's no phones, there's no clocks, they can't get out. They're kind of freaking out.
They're stuck.
And they have no idea why.
Okay. And Patricia has no pants.
And Patricia
yes,
has
I have no
pants.
Patricia has no pants. And that was my sorority name in college.
Patricia has no pants. Yes.
My band
okay.
name.
So this is Hannah Burkhauser.
Wow,
quite
I was going to call you Brubaker. Hannah Burkhauser, Ava Lamoureux, and Mindy Raskeenan doing a scene from Paradox Players' production of The Taming.
All is lost. I die.
Can we please not get dramatic about it?
I die, and I never get to finish my young adult novel about a wizard who is part bird.
Oh, God, kill me now.
And my cat might miss me, and my statuses will never be updated again.
Yeah, which is worse than death for you hipster people.
How am I alive if I can't tell people about it?
Okay, calm down, you damn hippie. We'll figure this out. Together.
Together.
Do we have another choice? No. And I'm sure we have something in common. You said you had a cat. That's human.
You like cats?
No.
You want to talk about cats?
No.
I think cats are majestic.
I think cats are small witches.
I take it you have a dog then, named, let me guess, Reagan?
No.
No. And I'm not judging you, but it's a terrier, isn't it?
Reagan is a chocolate lab. That's an American dog.
Yeah, you do know that Labrador is an island in Canada? Land of the free and home of the cats.
America is a Republican dog owner.
Oh, please. The founding white guys were fancy, fussy radicals who gave birth to a new nation, which basically makes them left-leaning cat ladies.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Also a Democrat.
Okay. Jesus loves me, and I bet your cat is a jerk.
Named Barack Mittens Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, God! Kill me now! Help me! Help me, Flag Angel! Help me not hit her with my angry fist!
Must you communicate all things by yelling?
Liberals get yelled at! That's the rule!
Put on some pants!
I wish I could!
Use the sheet!
That's a great idea!
Wait a minute. A second ago, did you say Flag Angel?
Yes. Wait, did you see her too?
With the sequins?
And the Vaseline on her teeth?
She was perfect.
She sang to me.
Oh, beautiful.
Four spacious skies, yes!
We both saw her. Flag Angel is real. She'll let us out. We're saved.
Flag Angel!
Flag Angel!
Flag Angel will save us!
Hey, y'all. It's Kath and Chelsea Hartford waking you up to another beautiful day in the greatest nation on earth. Now, who wants to save America, all right?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and there are crazy twists and turns, and we'll just say that something involving ether happens, and yeah.
So, Stacey, I'm gonna channel Nick Mayo here and ask you, what brought you to choose this play? What about this play spoke to you, Drew, that you wanted to bring it to the Austin?
Well, it was actually brought to me.
Okay, never mind.
but that being said, I agreed to do it. So there's that. So it was sent to me, and I was asked by the producer of the company if I wanted to direct this play, and I read it And I kind of like ruminated on it for a couple of days, and it needed to be done. There's a lot of humor in it, but there is also so much that is relevant to everything that's happening right now. You know, I mean, that scene doesn't really give that away because we didn't want to spoil it. But there's a lot that's really relevant that talks about, again, like the House divided and the way this country is going and the partisan nonsense and how we all need to come together. And I think that, you know, that's really important. And I'm hoping that I don't just preach to the choir and that other people will maybe see it and be like, oh yeah, maybe there is a way to come together.
Yeah, well, she's not mentioning auditions were days after the election.
Yeah. Oh, we actually lost somebody who was going to audition because she was like, I can't do anything political right now. I can't.
We totally understand. We were on the air the next day after audition. So, all right, after auditions and the election. Well, we are out of time. When do you open?
We open Friday.
Oh,
the 10th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Break them legs.
And when do you play through the 19th?
We play through the card in front of me. 26. We play through the 26th. And there is actually a special performance. I don't know if it says it on here, but there's a special performance on Valentine's Day as well.
Oh, which
bring
is the
your
14th.
Love for some right. laughs.
And where can folks go love to get more information? Paradoxplayers.org.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being on the show, and
thanks
hopefully
so much
that
you
can join us backstage as well.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. That was Stacey Glazer. God.
How long have I known you?
A long time. Stacey Glazer, Ava Lamoureux, Hannah Burkhauser, and Mindy Raskeaton of Paradox Players production of The Taming. Opens on the 10th, plays through the 26th at the House and Hall. For more information, paradoxplayers.org. We'll be right back. We're free at last!
I like your version better. That's, how come that's not recorded?
That is me singing.
Those dulcet tones.
So, very quickly, we are next week, and then 2 weeks after that, we will not have Backstage, because next week we are doing the Ameripolitan Awards, both Nicole and I. And then the following 2 weeks, we're in the middle of our spring membership drive. So save your money and then call us and become a member of the radio station.
Instead, so they don't need Backstage.
There you go. Thank you, guys. It's nice to have the band back together again.
I like the family and the team.
The team is back together.
Yes,
we love it.
The three amigos are here.
The Three Amigo. We should do that Three Amigo thing that they do.
We should.
Oh my God. Can we and put that online? I know, but we could put it on our Facebook, Twitter, and our website. Yep.
It was really nice to have so many great shows on today.
It was wonderful, really good.
We keep raising the bar.
So we just must go to the bar. Holla.
Now.
Anyway, if you're listening on the airwaves, stand by for Austin Monitor News. They're next. If you are listening on the podcast, and you should be, you get it on iTunes, on Stitcher, on iHeartRadio. Nicole?
Best way, just go to offstageonair.com, enter your email in the little box, and, you know, the three of us just appear in your mailbox each week.
And Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
And I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this is from Pearlie, which is spelled P-U-R-L-I-E, not P-E-A-R-L-I-E, for those of you wondering.
Love. I got love. I got love. I got love, 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 love.
Well, the curtain's just come down on Spicy, the musical, the story of a hapless young press secretary who just can't get a break. Thank God. Well, here we are backstage, and most everybody. Are we missing anybody? Yeah, we're missing one person.
Yeah.
We're missing Ava. So we have here backstage with us, we have Mindy Raskinen.
Hello, me again.
We have Hannah Burkhauser.
Hey.
Stacey Glazer.
Hello.
Vincent Hooper.
What's good?
And Steve Vinovich.
Yay.
Well, it's written with a G.
When you get rid of the letter.
I want to go on record.
One out of six.
I want to go on record as I was saying. So we actually, we have two people that don't officially live in Austin here in our midst, right?
Really?
Vincent, you don't officially live here anymore, do you?
I'm kind of a nomad.
So you're a nomad. Yeah. But Steve, you live in New York City.
I live in New York City.
And you're from Peoria, Illinois.
Peoria, Illinois.
Great. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much. It's really a lot of fun.
So did you grow up all the way through high school in Peoria?
I did indeed, yes.
Is that where you got your love of theater?
Well, actually. I started writing stunt shows in high school.
Well, define that. What is a stunt show?
It can be a musical 15-minute piece, and then you're the three. They do them in college, too. We did them at the University of Illinois. And you're up against your other, the juniors versus the seniors versus the sophomores. And then it's usually for homecoming, and you do that. And they give a prize. And I always won. My stunt shows always won.
Love the stunt show.
But I didn't think people from Peoria became actors. I didn't think you actually did that if you were from Peoria.
No, but we actually, before we went on the air, we discovered that we have a mutual friend, also an actor.
We do indeed.
Randy Easterbrook.
Yeah.
So also from Peoria.
Also from Peoria. Yeah.
There you go.
So Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Peoria do become actors.
Well, I mean, you of course know the famous saying, does it play in Peoria?
Of course.
Because it was on the circuit.
That was the Midwest town.
That was the Midwest town. And I have to say that I have not been to Peoria, but I lived in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for a number of years, and anything south of the city of Chicago, we call downstate.
That's right. You are
what we would officially call a downstate.
At the time, we were the second biggest city beyond Chicago, but I think they've dropped to fourth.
Oh, poor Peoria.
You never went to Peoria living in Chicago?
For what reason would I go to Peoria?
Well,
Caterpillar tractors.
Steve, are you with me here?
I'm with you.
Liz. I ended up in Peoria a few times living in Chicago.
Good for you.
I'm just saying. I'm surprised, miss. You've been everywhere.
I would have no reason to go to Peoria.
Well, normally you would be like, I was there
I've been
with
to
the
Bloomington.
Joffrey at the so-and-so town.
Well, why would you go to Bloomington and not Peoria?
I had a friend that was...
You had to pass through Peoria to get to Bloomington.
No, isn't Peoria further west than Bloomington?
Well, maybe. I guess you
I think
can,
it's. I think it's.
They're
it's,
not that
it's
far.
It's south and west of
yeah,
Chicago.
They're not that far.
And Bloomington is right on the same whatever. 55.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Whatever. 65.
Well, the three-way.
It was a great place to grow up. It really was.
And did you go straight from Peoria to New York?
No, I went to University of Illinois. Then I went to UCLA and was an MFA acting company. Then by fluke, I got a scholarship to Juilliard. Did the last 2 years of group three, and then started working in New York. And
what year did you find yourself in New York?
72 is when
I got there. And so have you been a New Yorker since 72?
No. Then was there about 16 years, did a lot of Broadway, off-Broadway, then got married, moved to L.A., had kids, raised them there.
Are they in theater?
They are not.
Good for you.
Thank God.
They were like, God, my parents are enough.
What was your Broadway debut?
The Broadway debut was a magic show.
Oh, yeah. I remember when that
Doug
opened.
Henning, uh-huh. And, yeah, and then okay. The Robber Bridegroom was the next one.
Which magic
was,
show would have been around 1979?
No, it was 76.
Oh, was then I don't really? Remember it because yeah. I didn't get there till 77.
76, yeah.
That was yeah. my high school graduation year.
There you go.
Bicentennial.
Yeah. Well,
Mazza, so didn't you find the opening on Broadway like Christmas morning, your very first time?
It was actually, I was replacing someone.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't the I didn't get the big opening till the next one, which was the Sardis and the whole thing and the party and all of that. Replacing is a lot tougher. You
yes.
get like a week and a half rehearsal. You're hysterical.
Yes.
Basically, you're just thrown on and you're in a musical. Good luck.
You know, we've never talked about that with replacements. We always talk about swing and these other hard
true.
Roles, and
that's
we've never
true.
Talked
I mean,
about the difficulty.
Well, I also replaced in Lost in Yonkers. Lucy Arnaz, Ann Jackson, and I all mm-hmm. went in at the same time. We got an extra week of rehearsal. We actually had 2 weeks.
Ooh.
And but opening night was still like, oh, my God, I still had my script. Where do I come in? I was standing on stage, and Ann Jackson are there breathing very heavily before we go on. I looked at her and I said, actors are brave, aren't they? And she, with these giant eyes, looked at me and she says, braver than astronauts.
You're lying.
We're astronauts. They just sit
I
there.
I love it.
That's awesome.
That's a great
That's
line.
That's cool. Stacey, are you from the Northeast? I forgot.
Yes.
Yes. You from
yeah.
whereabouts?
So I was born in Syracuse.
Oh, but my God. I lived in Syracuse for 9 years.
In the microphone.
Holy, what? Really?
I lived in Syracuse until
I
was
Syracuse.
Nine.
Syracuse
we
State.
Lived,
where?
Seriously.
I lived on Summit Ave in Syracuse.
I did summer stock in Syracuse.
Oh, my
I
God.
I graduated in high school from Fayetteville Manlius in
Girl.
Syracuse.
My mom went to
Notting Hill.
Yeah, so we left when I was six. My dad was in the Air
Knights.
Force. So, yeah, we left when I was six. But, like, so by the time I was 10, we were in Florida. But it's so weird. Like, I identify as a Northeasterner.
Yep.
But I also kind of identify as a Floridian because, like, I love the ocean and I hate cold weather. But also, like, slow people and dumb people bother me and I get road rage in the mall. So, you know.
I'm thinking just go down to the
very
Jersey Shore.
Inappropriate
yeah.
right now.
Well, do share.
Oh, it just, well, you are a Jew.
I mean.
Inappropriate,
yeah.
But it's okay. We're among frame.
It's exactly.
It is sort of a Florida thing. It's a
it
little
is.
Jewy down there.
It is a little bit, but not in Gainesville. Gainesville's not really Jewy.
No,
like,
you know, Gainesville you really got to be in Miami
yeah.
or Fort Lauderdale.
Exactly.
So were you doing theater at a young age?
So I remember when I was like 10. Maybe like 9 or 10, my next door neighbor and I wrote plays and like put them on in our neighbor's garage, in her garage,
uh-huh.
and like made our families come watch them.
You were a little Spanky in our gang.
Yeah, basically. We wrote a play about a dodo. And, like, we wrote, I don't know, like, some Father's Day play where, like, the dad, like, wins a car and we, like, made this big cardboard cutout car. It was, like, a whole production. So, yeah. But then, like, when I was in high school, like, I didn't really get into it until my senior year. I was going to, you know, I was going to be a lawyer. Like, that was the thing. I was, like, a total Jewish stereotype. And then instead I decided to go into theater, which also was a little bit of a stereotype,
and
I
where
suppose.
Did you start that in college?
Yeah. So I did. I took drama in high school and I was like, oh, I love this.
This is
great. Yeah. And so then when I went to college, I went to Florida State and I was going to double major. I was going to do art and theater. I was very ambitious. And then I very quickly realized that if I want to do theater, which is at night, and also be able to take theater classes, which are in the daytime, then I can't do art classes also, which were at night. And art sort of went by the wayside, and theater became my life.
We just had that discussion last week with somebody similar to she was looking at both going technical theater and
performer.
A performer, and uh-huh. she figured out that she couldn't really concentrate on both.
No, you really can't. Like,
so, but now when I met you 15 years ago, 14 years ago, you were a performer. But since then, I have not, I don't know of you performing again. You're really just directing these days.
Well, so what ended up happening was, again, theater stereotype, I got a job in the service industry, which meant I was working nights. And when you work nights and you're trying to do plays.
You were at the Radisson, weren't you?
I was. Well, yes.
My mom used to go visit her at the bar when she was in town. She's like, I'm going to see Stacy.
That's so awesome. And now, like, now I'm at Embassy Suites, which is like right across the bridge. But you know, it's really difficult to be on stage. But directing, I can, you know, kind of shuffle the schedule around and whatever. And once the show opens, it's not like I have to give up my weekends. And so I started concentrating a little bit more on film too, you know, because in college I was very much like theater is the only real art, and then I realized I wanted to make money at it. So
there you go.
And now I'm like, who wants to pay me? Okay.
So
great.
For in the film, are you working as a performer?
Yeah.
Cool.
So like, I mean, nothing major as of yet, but like I had a couple of callbacks for some commercials, and you know, nothing.
Who else does
crazy.
Film work? She and I everybody met do film work.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still haven't seen my HBO bit.
Oh.
Right. We're going to have to actually speak up in this room. You did something on HBO.
I did. Mindy. And I can finally talk about it because it came out last October.
Oh, what Yay. Was it?
There's this HBO show called Quarry. It's uh-huh. based on...
It's about rocks.
Right. it's based on this book series that takes place in the 70s. It's this guy comes home from Vietnam and he can't get any work. So
that didn't happen,
right? So he gets hired as a government assassin, I believe.
Oh.
You know, like you do. And
it's like when you've got no work, why right? not?
And I'm in an episode called Carnival of Souls. It's just a bit part. I don't have any lines, but I'm a waitress who ends up having sex with the villain in the parking lot.
Wow.
You know. Like
Get
you
it.
Do.
like you do.
Like you do. And it was so, and the whole thing was wonderful. I got to go to New Orleans and film with this amazing crew. And it was so funny because the villain, you know, he's this, first of all, gorgeous, wonderful, lovely looking man.
Named
Chris Baker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Baker's kid.
Right.
Yeah, I know him.
who doesn't?
But it's funny is
like
that.
You do.
Like you do.
Right? And what's funny is that. Well, not funny. It just shows that he's a really good actor. Is that, you know, his character is this guy from, you know, Memphis who the whole point of why he's the villain is that he beat up this black guy and got away with it because he's white. And so that's why he's now
like
the target.
You do.
Like you do, unfortunately.
Like you do. Right. Happy like, Black History Month.
right? Well, hey. But, and so, you know, I'm watching this scene with him at a press conference, just being a utter douche. And then he goes off and he's this lovely, wonderful Australian man. So he's like, yeah, you know, I didn't beat the kid, but if I could have, I would have, you know, something like that. And then he's like, hello. Oh, that's not Australian accent
okay.
at all.
It sounds like Bronx
right?
Australian.
It's like, yeah. It's like, you want to see a picture of my kids? Hello, and gives me a big old hug. And it's like, oh, you're just delightful and lovely and wonderful. And that was a really weird juxtaposition.
Acting.
I do have a friend that takes things so literally that she would not like that man.
Oh, God,
because
no.
He plays a bad person.
Yeah. No, the best part,
you
though,
know
is...
What?
Oh, yeah, but the best part, though, is how we broke the sound guy. That just is up there, number one. Because, as I said, you know, we have sex in the parking lot. And we're on a car, and there's really no good place for the sound guy to be. So I feel for porn stars because we had to do like a minute or two of Foley. And after that recorded, the sound guy's like, that was the most awkward and uncomfortable thing I've ever recorded in my entire career. And it was like, yes, I win.
Vincent, yes. have you done film?
I have indeed, yeah.
Do you like doing film?
You're
like, you've been backstage here a zillion times. There's nothing we don't know about you.
We haven't talked about
it.
Film.
I know.
Let's see. Just not too long ago, I did a Fox thing, this TV series called Shots Fired, which is coming out, I think, this year.
That's where people do a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
And then, actually, and then lose their job.
Funny enough, about police brutality. But
no.
Yeah, it is. And so, yeah, I shot that. I was in Reno at the time. And there was like this weird back and forth as to whether or not I got the role. Finally, I did. So they flew me out from Reno to North Carolina. I shot the episode and then came back. And
when will it air?
I think it might be March.
That's coming. That's coming up.
Like, are you in the pilot or is this a series?
Yeah, it's
that's
episode three.
Okay, well, yeah. We'll set your VCRs.
Wiki it and look at the episode.
Set your Betamax. All
right.
And if you can't get audio, just use your cassette player to like get something.
Listen,
from your TV.
I had my cassette player and my cassettes out yesterday. I was so proud of myself. I'm like, look at me go.
I don't have either of those things.
I miss them.
So you made me think of something. This is a total non sequitur. But I find I'm so ignorant of pop culture. What's her name? And I forgot her name. She's in Blackish. She plays the wife.
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Oh, my God. First of all, I love her. I love that show. Blackish is awesome.
Do you know who her mom is, right?
This is what I just learned.
Diana
Ross. Who knew?
Other than her? Look alike.
Who knew?
I mean, they have the same hair.
And I do have a Diana Ross story, which I will not bore people with. I did work with her.
We can talk about Diana later off key.
Yeah, except you never called her Diana.
No, because it's Ms. Ross. No,
I did. I called her Diana. And actually, our last person we haven't spoke to here is Hannah.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hi.
I'm just hiding back here.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
You haven't been on Offstage and on the Air before, have you?
I haven't. This is a thrill.
This is. So are you new to Austin, or are you just not very good, not in anything?
It's
she's
true.
Amazing.
I've just been hiding. I've been waiting for my debut moment. A star knows when they make their debut, and this is it. Fashionably late.
Write that down, kids. Write that down.
I've been here for a couple of years, and I've been in some great stuff. But this is truly an honor. So thanks for having me on.
Cool. Where are you from?
I am from Ithaca, New York.
Oh, Ithaca. Yeah. Simeon's has the host with the most work in there.
Oh, hey.
I've gotten into a lot of trouble
there.
It is gorgeous. It is. And waterfalls and all that.
Yeah. I used to hitchhike to Ithaca quite a bit.
Did you really?
Yeah, from Manhattan to Ithaca.
Why does this not surprise
me? That's
random.
It's a really short 5-hour drive, so.
It's an awful hitchhike because when you get off the
freeway
and on that small road, you do not get picked up. And I had a friend that was in Cornell, and so I would hitchhike to go visit.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about my parking privileges are permanently revoked on Ithaca College campus.
Yes.
Talking to the microphone.
What
did you ever play
do
at the Hangar Theater?
I did. I was, not to brag, but I was in the children's chorus in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh,
so, just saying, I was kind of a big deal.
He showed his coat, he did his coat of many colors.
It's not my favorite musical.
I love you some Joseph. So you started at a young age.
I did. I was doing karaoke jams from 5 years old on.
So you do musicals.
I did for a long time. I was a Boston University BFA grad.
Oh, awesome.
2010.
Triple threat. Awesome.
Except I'm an actor that moves. Let's be real.
That's not a triple threat. Okay. Let's be very clear.
I'm not doing 42nd Street anytime soon.
Lisa has a shtick for this.
If you have to use that qualifier, it's not a triple threat.
She's a 2.5 threat.
I was an actor who sings and moves well.
There you go.
Which means I'm an actor who can barely carry a tune and can't dance at all.
I was like, Lisa,
right. I have a Britney Spears range and can do a time step.
So
that's
just
about
so you know, triple threat. Do all three good.
Okay. So no, I'm about a 2.5. 2.5. No, but I was a national player. I've done mostly Shakespeare is my jam.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's two Willies we like in this state, Nelson and Shakes.
There you go.
Can we all have a moment of silence for Willie Nelson? Because he just canceled 3 more shows.
Oh, no,
that is 5 shows he's canceled this year, and this is a man who does not cancel shows.
No, he's the ever ready.
So,
somebody get that man some weed fast.
No. Willie.
Something tells me that's taken care of. Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage amongst the dumpsters.
Yes.
I appreciate that. And then we normally ask people for their musical that they like to hear. But Stacey, I lent her a CD 10 years
she
ago.
Finally returned.
10 years ago.
She just returned it to me, and I just chose a track at random. It's My Son, the Folk Singer. It's playing in the background right now.
It's lovely. Oh, yeah, that part's really good.
Oh, it's great. Here, yes. Do you love it?
So good.
Yes.
Whimsical.
Anyway, so we will go out listening to the dulcet tones of Alan Sherman from My Son, the Folk Singer. Thank you all for joining us backstage.
Thanks for having us.
See you later, everybody.
Master like the girls all and by next December you'll wind up in the Fontainebleau. I'll tell you what you're gonna be.